Now, friends, I'm coming to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. Chapter 10, and if you have your Bible open there at the 10th chapter, let me say that the last three chapters that we're coming to now, chapters 10, 11, and 12, are ordinarily considered one vision. And the theme here relates to the nation Israel in the immediate future and then in the latter days. We have here, for instance, a historical little horn and the little horn of the latter days. Now, these last three chapters should be treated as one vision. Some consider this last vision in the three chapters to be the greatest of all the visions of Daniel. Now, that may be true, but it certainly is a remarkable and a unique section. And there are certain features here which are different from all other chapters in Daniel, in fact, different from any section of the Word of God. And I'm going to examine, of course, each chapter separately as we come to this 10th one. And there's another, I think, outstanding feature that we should mention here. All was prophetic when given here, but at the present time, much has been fulfilled, belongs to history, and a great deal is still prophetic, that is, in the future, to be fulfilled in the last days. And I must confess, it's rather difficult to draw a line of demarcation and to say which is on one side and which is on the other side. But this is a method that we find running through the Word of God, and that has been the double reference, which refers to that which is local and refers to that which is in the distant future. And I think, though, the fulfillment of that in the immediate future, which has been fulfilled literally, gives us the key for the future. Now, here in chapter 10, we have the preparation for the last vision by the prayer of Daniel and the appearance of a heavenly messenger. And we have first the time, place, and preparation of Daniel for the vision. Now, I think the key to understanding this chapter and the other two chapters is this. It's found here in verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. That is, it'll be a long time before it will be fulfilled. And it concerns Daniel's people, Israel, and I surely hope you won't get the church all mixed up in this section, because it's made very clear by Daniel that he's talking about his people here. And then there's something else that's unique about this chapter here, and we're moving into a very eerie section. Maybe you'd call it weird, strange. The veil of the spiritual world is partially and momentarily going to be pulled aside and let you get a look. There's nothing here to satisfy the morbid curiosity of an idle spectator. There's enough here, however, to produce a beneficial and sobering effect upon the humble believer, and it was the effect that it had upon Daniel. It ought to have that effect upon us, not just to satisfy idle curiosity. And we're going to see here that there is an intrusion made into the spiritual realm. It's going to introduce the believer to the order of angels, both good and bad, both fallen and unfallen. And we are going to see here something of the kingdom of Satan that is about us today. There's been a great deal said about that recently and written about it. And I think a great many people take a little fact and they make a whole lot of fiction out of it. We're going to try to stick to the facts that are here. And we're going to see the order of demons, that they are in orders, and that the angels are in ranks and positions and orders. That's exactly what Paul said in Colossians 1:16. He says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Now he makes a separation of God's creation, not only that which is in heaven and that which is in earth, but that which is visible and that which is invisible. And there's a great realm today that's invisible. We are discovering that there are a great many things in this world of energy and this world about us that we know very little about even today. But we are finding here that he created, we're told, thrones. That would be the archangels like Michael and Gabriel and other special envoys. And then there are dominions where there are cherubims and seraphims. And then there are principalities. They were generals. They are the brass. And then there are powers. And in that they're privates, such as serve as guardian angels. Now, some from the rank of principalities, that is, generals, they fell away to Satan. And we're told that in Ephesians 6:12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that is against principalities. Now, Satan has his angels organized according to rank. Just as one army is set over against another, there are generals on both sides. Well, his principalities, his generals, they seem to have the oversight of nations. They're powers, and they are privates. They are demons who want to possess human beings. They're rulers of the darkness of this world. They are demons who have charge of Satan's worldly business. And I think he has a lot of monkey business going on down here. And then there's spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. There are demons who have charge of religion. You may not realize that, but Satan's department of religion is the largest department of all. He's in the business of religion. A great many think he's in the opposite. Absolutely not. Now, these two groups are in the arena of this universe that we live in, and it comes to this earth at times, and they're engaged in a ceaseless warfare to capture here the souls of men. And this subject will be pursued further now as we move into this chapter here.